There's a beautiful pasuk in this week's parsha. At the end of the Shira, at the end of the Az Yashir, it says, Vatikach Miriam Hanavia, Miriam the prophetess, the famous Miriam, Achais Aaron, who was the sister of Aaron HaKayin, she took as hataif, she took that musical instrument, the musical instrument, biyada, in her hand. And it says, Vateitzena kol anashim achareha, the other women followed her, betzufim u'mucheilais, with the same instruments, these drums, these timbrels, u'mucheilais, and dancing. This was the reaction of the women after the men sang Az Yashir, the Shiras Hayam. The women joined in, and the pasuk calls her Miriam, the sister of Aaron, which is strange because she wasn't just the sister of Aaron, she was the sister of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu played such a prominent role just at the beginning of the Shira, as Yashir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael, you'd think that it would say, if anything, Miriam, the sister of Moshe. But yet it calls her the sister of Aaron. And Rashi, of course, brings the Gemara in Saita, which says that she was a Neviah. The fact that she was a Neviah, which the Pasuk describes her as, was already when she was an Achais Aaron. She was a Neviah before Moshe Rabbeinu was even born, because she was the one that gave a Nevuah to her parents, Asida Imi, Shetelet Bein She, Mashiach Yisrael, my mother is going to give birth to a baby that will save Klal Yisrael. So her nevuah really preceded Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why it calls her Miriam Hanavia Achais Aaron, to give a little bit of context of the timeline. When did she become a nevuah? She became a nevuah before Moshe Rabbeinu was even born, but when she was still a sister of just Aaron. I wanted to be maisif a little bit of maybe an extra pshat, if I may. The Gemara in Saita, which just said what it said about the fact that Miriam gave this nevuah about her mother giving birth to the Mashiach Shal Yisrael, the Gemara gives a little bit more detail. It's an interesting story, actually, that Miriam's parents were, of course, Amram and Yocheved. Amram, the Gemara there describes as the Gadol Hadar. Rashi says, you know what the definition of a Gadol Hadar is? The Gadol Hadar is somebody that everybody listens to. If you want to know what defines somebody as a Gadol Hadar, it's somebody that the nation listens to. Not because this person was elected or even selected, but the person naturally is understood to be the voice of Klal Yisrael that everybody must heed. Reb Chaim Kanievsky today is no doubt the Gadol Hadar. Who created him as the Gadol? Who appointed him? Nobody. He has no yeshiva, he has no shul. But Klal Yisrael sees him as the Gadol Hadar. The whole nation, min hakatzel hakatzel, listens to him. That's what a Gadol Hadar is. Amram was the Gadol Hadar. And Amram made a very, very interesting decision. He divorced his wife. Why did he divorce Yocheved? Because he said, Paro is making this terrible gezeirah. All babies must be thrown into the Nile. And what's the point? Why bother staying married, having children? It's all going to end in futility, in death, destruction. No point. Let's get divorced. And when Amram divorced Yocheved, the Gemara says the entire Klal Yisrael divorced their wives, if you can imagine. Everybody was divorced. And Miriam came to her father and respectfully gave him a bit of pushback on his decision. And she said, Tata, you can't do this. Your gezeirah is worse than Paray. Paray was only geyser. He only decreed about the boys dying, and you're decreeing that there shouldn't be boys and there shouldn't be girls. And Parah's decree is only in this world. But your decree is for this world and the next world. Your decree, your cheshbon maybe needs to be rethought. And he was mekabel his daughter's musar, and he remarried her. And the pasuk says, "Vayelech ish mi beis Levi, vayikach es bas Levi." A man went from the house of Levi, that was Amram, and married es bas Levi. And the Gemara in Saita darshins vayikach, that he made a lekicha, he made like a new chasna. He didn't just marry her privately in a small ceremony, but he made a full-blown chasna. And they put Yecheved in an apurion. Apurion is like a royal throne that they used to sit kalas in. And the Gemara says that Aaron and Miriam, umeraktim lefanah, these wonderful children, Aaron and Miriam, began dancing to mesameach their parents at this reunion, at this zivug sheni, at this fact that they became married once again. And when they did that, the whole Klal Yisrael got remarried. And from that came Moshe Rabbeinu and the Shishim Ribay. When the pasuk says that they took, that Miriam took es hataif biyada, there's a hey ayidia on that taif. That taif, that musical instrument, where did it come from? Why? What made it that taif? Hataif. And I have no proof to what I'm about to say, but libi aymerli, my heart tells me that was the very taif. Those were the musical instruments. That was the musical instrument that was played by Miriam and Aaron when they were being mesameach their parents to the chuppah. They danced together before them, and there was music that was playing, and it was that musical instrument that was taken by Miriam, and that's why she was called here Achais Aaron, because her and Aaron together made music for their parents. They brought the music. They brought the simcha to the chasna. They made it lebedik. They made it gishmak. They brought the ability for their parents to reunite and to create dairis with Moshe Rabbeinu at the helm. Just Agav Orcha, there's a medrash that says that had Aaron known that the pasuk would praise him for going out to greet Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu was appointed the leader of Klal Yisrael, it says that had Aaron known that the pasuk would praise him, b'sufim u'mchaylais, he would have gone and greeted Moshe Rabbeinu with that taif and with dancing, because Aaron was familiar with the taif and he was familiar with the machal, because this was who he was. Him and Miriam together, who brought simcha to Klal Yisrael at that very desperate time, they also came and brought simcha to Klal Yisrael at this most beautiful occasion, at the Shiras Hayam, when Klal Yisrael left Egypt, when Klal Yisrael went Me'abdus L'Cheiros, and we were heading towards Matan Torah. She brought the music. She brought the joy. She brought the simcha. This Miriam Hanavia Achais Aaron. Not only did she bring the music, but the end of the pasuk says that all the women came besufim mechaylais. They also, says Rashi, they brought these instruments with them from Mitzrayim. These were the righteous women that kept Klal Yisrael going throughout the Shibud. It was because of the Nashim Tzidkanyes that Klal Yisrael existed, and they had such faith in the Rabbeinu Shalom that they brought with them. They foresaw that there would be the Shir Al Hayam, and they brought music with them. It's a beautiful story that's told about two brothers in Lucerne, Switzerland. Their name is Reuven Erlanger, and the brother's name was Gabi Erlanger. Erlangers are very famous people. One of my rabbeim in Eretz Yisrael, when I learned in Kol Torah, was Rabbi Avram Erlanger, the famous Sefer Birchas Avram. He's from that same very prestigious dynasty of, but it comes from Switzerland, Rav Shimon Schwab and all the Schwab brothers were Einikloch of this Erlanger chain. And so two of these very chashuva people who are, they're businessmen and they live in Switzerland, they're very involved in the yeshiva in Lucerne. There's a chashuva yeshiva in Lucerne in Switzerland, and they're board members, and they wanted to raise money for the yeshiva, so they basically had some musical talent. One of them played the accordion, and one of them played the drums. And they would go throughout Europe, and especially in Switzerland, but throughout the entire Europe, and they would play music at simchas. There were no other bands. This is going back many years. And whatever money came in for the simchas that they played at, they would donate to the yeshiva. And over time, they raised about $500,000 for the yeshiva of Lucerne just with their music. So they were once invited, to a very large simcha, a very large chasna, in a big hall, and they knew that the hall was too big to just be filled with the music of the two of them. So they were trying very hard to get a third player, like a violin player, to really round out their music. And in the last minute, before they were about to go off to this other part of Switzerland in a city called Lugano, this person backed out in the last minute, and they were very depressed because they felt, it's not going to be nice, you know, these people are expecting a band and we're only two pieces and it's not going to be geschmack. But they went and they realized they're going to try their best to bring the simcha to the chasna. And they came and it was a bigger hall than they had imagined. There were more people there than they thought there would be. And they realized that this was really going to be very schwach. And as they were setting up their instruments, there was a 16-year-old boy, young man, that came with a violin. And he said, "Would you mind if I would join in? Would it be okay if I would join your band?" They said, "Join, we'd love that. We need that. We were looking for a violin player. And, you know, it's like almost like a nace that you came here. And what are you doing here?" He says, "Well, I came from Eretz Yisrael for the simcha. And before I left, I was learning in yeshiva. I am learning in yeshiva called Ber Yaakov. And the mashkiach of the yeshiva is Rav Shlomo Volbe. And I asked Rav Volbe if I should take my violin to Switzerland. Is there a purpose? Is it kedai to schlep there? It's probably going to be music." He says, "No." He says, "You absolutely should schlep it. You must schlep it. And it's not going to be a schlep." He says, "Because you never know. A lot of times people need extra simcha. They need extra music. They need extra joy. And always bring your music. Wherever you go, bring your music." And so he brought it, and everything just worked out perfectly. The plug for his violin fit perfectly into the amplifier, which is a rarity. And everything just went perfectly. The music was so beautiful. All because this young man, the 16-year-old, came and brought the music. He brought the taif, biyadai. And I think that this is a very important yisayid that we have to ourselves take with us throughout our lives. Rav Meir Shapiro said that the great Lublina Rav, the founder of Daf Yomi, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Chachmi Lublin, he used to say that whenever you go to a simcha, bring the band with you. What does that mean? A lot of times you go to a chasna. I just went to a chasna tonight of a Talmud, Baruch Hashem. It's a beautiful chasna. We still have some guys that made it back in time, Baruch Hashem. But I must admit that it wasn't an easy night to go. My family is away, and I had to pick up my son, take him out of yeshiva early, and the weather was horrible, and it wasn't an easy thing to do, to drive to Teaneck tonight. I'm not feeling so well. A lot of times when we go to simchas, we complain. We don't have time. I'm studying for this, I'm studying for that. I have Seder, I have Shir, I have Techazer. I don't really have the ability to go. Sometimes we're a little bit jealous, maybe, if, let's say, we're dating and this friend of ours got engaged before we did and got married before we did. Here we have to schlep to the Vart to go to the Chasna, and there might be a tinge of jealousy. And it doesn't end there. When you get older and you have children of your own and your daughter is waiting to find her shidduch and other people are making a chasna for their daughter or for their son, there's a lot of complexities when it comes to simchas. Rav Meir Shapir used to say that when you go to a chasna, when you go to any simcha, bring the band with you. Leave all of your issues. Check them in at the coat check, you know, when you're giving your coat in, give all of your grievances and all of your issues and all your tainus and all your complaints. Leave that at the door. Come into the simcha and bring the music. Bring the taif biyadcha. That's what the chassan deserves. That's what the kala deserves. That's what the parents deserve. They've been waiting so long. Make it nice for them. Stop thinking always about ourselves and our own things and our own issues, and stop clouding everything with that. Give over to the chasen kala, to the bar mitzvah boy, to the bala bris, to whoever. Any simcha that you're going to, don't make it about you. Make it about the bal simcha. Bring the band with you. Bring the simcha. When you come into the room, you should be coming there fully prepared and motivated and focused solely on the simcha, not on your own things, not on how difficult it is and how much of a schlep it is and how expensive it was to get here and how many tolls it took and how much traffic there was. Forget that. Leave that in the car. Take in with you simcha. Bring the taif. Bring the instruments with you. Bring the violins, bring the guitars, bring the drums. Because that's what you should be doing. You should be thinking about Yenim. You should be thinking about the other person. Rav Huttner, the great Chaim Berlin Rosh Shiva, used to say, we know there's a pasuk, Ima Neichi Bitsara, I am with you in Tsaris. He says, yeah, that's nice. It's good to be. It's a sign of a pretty good friend if you're able to commiserate with somebody when they're going through tough times. Person is la'aleinu sick or in avelus or just not in a good place, and you go and visit, you commiserate, you say the right things at the right time. That's very good. It's very important, Yimai Neichi B'tzara. He says, but that's easy. The difficult thing is Yimai Neichi B'simcha. When things are happy, where am I then? Am I still able to fully rejoice with you? It's much harder to rejoice with somebody than to console somebody. Because when I console somebody, I'm the one that's sitting higher up, and I'm looking down, and I'm pitying you. And I could do that as a human being. I'm very well designed for that. Feeling that I'm a little bit above you, I'm in a position that I could help you, that's good. But when you're making a simcha, that means that I have to sort of be mevatel myself to you. I have to look up to you. I have to make you raised on a high pedestal, and that's difficult. But that's the mark of a great person. When a person is able to bring simcha to a situation and just negate yourself and just completely give over yourself to that simcha, that's a tremendous maila. Everybody has their own unique talent. One person brings to a simcha the ability to dance geschmack. Some people bring music. Some people bring shtick. Some people just bring a smile. But you have to bring something good to a chasna, to a simcha. That's what's expected of us. And I want to expand what I mean when I say simcha. This isn't just merely a tutorial on how to go to a chasna, or how to go to a bar mitzvah, or a vart. This is a tutorial on life. Wherever we go in life, we have to bring something special. Every opportunity in life gives us the ability to bring what we have uniquely ours to the table. You know, during these days of COVID, you see how people go out of their way to help other people, to bring simcha. I was once in Flatbush for, I don't know why I was there, but all of a sudden I was out of the car, there was like blaring music, like crazy loud. And it was people that were going around in trucks, and maybe you had this in your neighborhoods, wherever you're from, but people went out of their way on Chol HaMoed and other occasions to go and bring simcha to people that were quarantined in their homes. People have Zooms and giving people music to listen to. Divrei Torah, Chizuk, Hisairus. People care. They're bringing out the best in themselves in the worst of situations to try to make it better. And certainly in the best of situations to make it that much better. But that's what we have to think about in life. What do we have, specifically me and you, what can you do to make life better for other people in all circumstances? How can we make other people happier? How can we help other people when we need them, when they need us? Reb Chaim Volozhiner used to say, and his son writes this in the Hakdama to the Ruach Chaim, that his father always used to say, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the great Talmud Muvok of the Vilna Gaon, Loi la'atzmai ha'adam nivra. A person was not created just for himself. Kiyem lahaya la'achrini. The reason why we were put on this world is to help others in any way that we can. How are we going to help others in life? How are we going to help make other people smile, make other people enjoy their life, get through life in a good way? What can we do for other people? That's what we have to think about. Instead of always being consumed about ourselves, that's not why we were here. Hashem did not put us in this world to be totally consumed by me. Obviously, we have to care about ourselves also. We have to worry about a parnasa and about a shidduch and about raising our family and about getting a house and a car and all of that. That's, of course, very important. But that's not why we were put here. We were put here in order to help other people around us, to make other people's lives better. That's why we're here. And we're supposed to bring simcha to everything that we do, to bring the taif to every event, to every occasion, to always think, what can I do? Wherever I'm going, what am I going to be able to do to help make it better? And now I want to get to yeshiva. Because we don't have to go out to chasnas and brisin and bar mitzvahs and pidgin abens in order to bring simcha. We have so much right here to do. There's so much work here in this building. There's so many people that need us. Just like we need other people need us. And what makes the yeshiva such a special place, it's been asked before, like, what do you even need a yeshiva for? Today you can get everything online. You can go to Torah anytime or land your Torah or whatever. Get everything for free. Why need to be in a yeshiva? Just Zoom. Like, what's the point of being in a yeshiva? The point of being in a yeshiva is, and maybe this is why Reb Chaim Volozhiner was the one that established the current yeshivas that we have today, is because the yeshiva affords us the ability to be a society, to be a perfect society and to help one another out. Everything that I could help you with, I'm here for you. That's what a yeshiva is. You know, I just spoke to my son who's learning in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and he made me so proud. He told me that, I don't know if he wants me to be mefarsimid, I guess it's going against everything that he actually told me, but I'll do it anyway. He basically said that he goes to the Markolet every Erev Shabbos and he buys, You know, in Eretz Yisrael, they have those, like those plastic, the tissues in a plastic container. It's like not so expensive, whatever it is, a couple of shekel each. He buys like a whole box of them, and he puts them, and no one was doing it. Nobody was, everyone was sick. Everybody had, you know, colds and everything in the Beis Medrash, and they were sneezing, and there was no tissue. So he stepped to the plate. Nobody knows about it, except for now the Eilam. He went and he bought, and every week he buys the tissues, and nobody knows. Late Thursday night, he puts them out on the tables. And so for the whole week, Me'erev Shabbos, L'erev Shabbos, guys are able to have the luxury of having a tissue in a Beis Medrash. It's a chiddush. Nobody told him to do it. It's not his official job. No one's bankrolling it. He's doing it out of my pocket. But it's a tremendous thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's L'chaya L'achrini. That's why yeshiva exists. Reb Shlomo Zalman, you say yeshiva is yeshuva and shel olam. We are a small world, and we're demonstrating to the entire world how society should function in a perfect way. Isn't that what a yeshiva really is? If you stop and think about it, isn't a yeshiva the ability for all of us to come and bring our own taif, bring our own unique talents to the fore? We have two very talented musicians here. They came, they're not getting paid, I don't think. They deserve to get paid. Maybe the SGO should figure out a way to pay them. But they're not getting paid. They came because they have a God-given talent. They're musical, and they wanted to be Mahana the Island with their music. Let's give them a... There are people that on Shabbos come and they volunteer to daven for the Amud, or if they are asked, they're immediately... I don't like when I see people, no, I don't want to... Why not? What's stopping you? If you're asked to daven, daven. Unless you're really not feeling well or something... Everybody has a talent. If you have a beautiful voice, then daven for the Amud. If you know how to lane, then be the Balkaire. If you want to be a Gabet Staka, then be a Gabet Staka. If you want to be the guy that magically fills up the urn so that there's always hot water, who does that? Who's the guy that fills up the urn so that there's always hot water when you need it? Or the guy that buys the K-cups and puts them in the slots there for the Keurig machine? And who does that? There are malachim that want to remain anonymous, and they do this because they're in a yeshiva. And yeshiva is a place that we care about one another, that we come together like a family. I'll tell you a story that I just thought of at the chasna tonight, because it's the first night of the Zman and I was at a chasna, so this clicked in my mind. I didn't even write it down in my notes. Years ago, I would say going back maybe 17 years in yeshiva, maybe a little less, it was the first morning of the Zman, like this morning. And a new boy comes over to me, very nice boy. And he said to me, Rabbi, I'd like to ask Rishus to miss Night Seder tonight. I said, boy, that was quick. That didn't take too long. It's nice he asked Rishus at least, but, you know, you want to give me an... It's not that, you know, most people don't even come over to me, so once I have a real fish on my hook, I want to at least, like, reel him in a little bit. Like, where are you going? He says, well, I want to go to a chasna. I said, oh, that's so nice. Who's chasna, a relative? He says, no, I don't know the guy. So I said, so who is he? He says, I saw on the bulletin board that there's an invitation, and it says that Leman Achai V'Re'ai, you know, all B'nai Yeshiva are invited to come to my chasna tonight in the Marina Del Rey. I said, but you don't know the guy. You just came here. You're new here. You don't know him. If you had passed him in the hall, you wouldn't know who he was. He says, that's true. It's true. He says, but the yeshiva that I came from in Eretz Yisrael taught me one thing. that when a Talmud gets married in a yeshiva, it's the entire yeshiva simcha. I don't know that bachur, but I'm in this yeshiva. And if he is a Talmud of the yeshiva, then he's like a brother to me. And how can I miss my brother's chasana? I literally had tears rolling down my cheek. And I said, of course you can go to the chasana. It's the most beautiful thing I ever heard. This bachur, a few months later, tragically was nifter. And it was the hardest day of my life because the family asked me to be maspid him. Can't be maspid a Talmud. And this is the whole hesped that I said. Came to yeshiva first day, wanted to go to that Talmud's chasna, that friend that he didn't know is chasna. Just because he's a Talmud in yeshiva, he gave the yeshiva a tzura that it deserves. He brought the taif with him from Eretz Yisrael. He brought his taif. He brought his hashkafa. He brought his simchas achayim. He brought the hashkafa of what a yeshiva is. This is our society. This is our family. If I had one dream for yeshiva, it would be that we would be literally a cohesive unit that would be able to cross across all lines of demarcation, real or imaginary. Doesn't matter which yeshiva you went to in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't matter what color shirt you wear, what kind of yarmulke you wear, whether you wear a hat or you don't wear a hat. We're a family. As soon as you step into Lander College for Ilmei Beis Medrash or Talmud, you're a member of our family. It has obligations to be part of a family, but there's so many privileges. To be part of a family, to have a chevra that whoever you see around you, they're the ones that are going to be dancing with you by your chasna, mirtz Hashem. They're the ones that are going to be at your vart. They're the ones that are going to be helping you prepare your when you propose to your kala. They're going to be at your graduation. These are your new friends. Say hello to them. Get to know them. The worst mistake, the worst crime that a new bacher could make or an old bacher is that, well, you know, I had a great experience in Eretz Yisrael. I have Rabbeim, thank you very much. I have a chevra, thank you very much. I came here, but, you know, it was a dare I came here on, or my parents really wanted me to go to college, but I really wanted to stay in Eretz Yisrael, or I really wanted to do something else, but I couldn't. So you basically moor yourself to your past, and you go through the next few years, ki'ilu, you know, as if it's a gas station. I just came here to fill up my tank and to move on. I don't have any real association with my gas station. Who cares? I'll go to a different gas station every time my car needs gas. That's not what a yeshiva is. That's not what Reb Chaim Volozhiner had in mind for a yeshiva. A yeshiva is a place that we can share, that we can become friends and become family and brothers. And going back to my son, he went to a sleepaway camp for many years. And they used to send, you know, after you come home, they send, it used to be a DVD, I guess now it's online, but we'd have DVDs of like of the scenes of camp and all the exciting things that they went on and all the, you know, the trips, etc. But what always struck me was, and I've spoken about this many times, is that they have video of the last day of camp. And the last day of camp, it's after 2 months of knowing each other. I mean, some of them, of course, were there previous years, but many of them were not. And they have like this banquet the night before the last day of camp. And then you see them like getting on the bus, on the buses that are waiting to take them. And they don't want to get on the bus because they're too busy hugging each other and kissing each other and they don't want to leave. Because camp does something right. camp creates a ruach that everybody's bringing their taif. Everybody's bringing their A game, whether it's basketball or whether it's swimming or whether it's boating or whether it's learning or whether it's singing or whatever it is, everybody gets to bring something to the table and feel good about themselves and feel like that it's one big jigsaw puzzle and I have my piece that I'm putting in the middle of it. And so when you leave that, it's like you can't really separate from that because you can't separate from life and you can't separate from something that is life and that gives life. And that's what a yeshiva should be in a perfect world. A perfect yeshiva, and this has always been my dream for this yeshiva. And I don't know if I've ever really gotten close to success, unfortunately. To have that experience that by graduation guys don't want to leave. Or before the last day of the Zman, they're like, no. And that there's a ruach in the yeshiva that this is my yeshiva and I'm proud of it. That's my dream. And you can make that dream a reality. But you have to like break down a lot of walls. You got to stop with all of the differences and looking at other people, sizing them up. Don't do that. Don't make that mistake. Look at everybody like an opportunity to befriend somebody. Before my kids go to camp in the summer, I tell them one thing. I'm not sending you to sleepaway camp to win the Olympics and to win color war and to be competitive and to have a great time. That's not why I'm sending you there. That you could stay home for. What I'm sending you to camp is for the following. There will be in your bunk a girl, and I'm speaking to the girls, that's going to be sad because she doesn't have many friends. Maybe she's not as pretty as the rest of the girls. Maybe she's not as athletic as the rest of the girls. Maybe she's not as cool as the rest of the girls. And she's crying herself to sleep. I'm sending you to sleepaway camp that you should go and sit on her bed with her and make her your friend. And don't stop until the entire bunk is her friend. That's why I'm sending you to camp. And you know, a teacher called me this year and told me that one of my daughters is very like that in school. You know, she's like the life of the class, and the girls that are not popular, she brings into the chevra, she brings them into the dance. And I said, you know, I appreciate you calling me, but I'm not surprised about it, because whenever they go to camp or they go to school, I tell them, that's why I'm sending you. I'm a naskein. This is why I'm sending you. This is why you're here in yeshiva, to help other people, to bring your unique talents. You know, sometimes there's a guy in your shir that's not going to get shir. He's floundering. Maybe he's failing. You have to go. It's your obligation to go listen to me, what I'm saying. It's your obligation if you're one of the guys that are on the top of the shir or in the middle of the shir and you're getting more shir than he does, go put your arm around him and say, let's learn a little bit together. I have time for you. I have time for you. If there's a guy that has issues with his college work, he's not doing so well, he's not so good in math, not so good in the sciences, in the pre-meds, whatever it is, it's difficult. Not everybody has the same cup as you do. Go and help the guy out. When you help him out, you're going to do so much for him the rest of your life. When I was in college, I tutored a guy. I didn't get paid. There was a guy, he had a head like a cucumber, like a watermelon. He mamish had a thick skull. He couldn't get anything into his head. And I spent hours and hours and hours and hours helping him out with passing his courses. I didn't think he would ever graduate college. He graduated. He happens to be one of the richest Yidden today in the tri-state area. He's a huge company. Every time he sees me, he pretends not to notice me. Because, you know, it's hard to be makir tayv. But you never know. You don't know what you could do for somebody. You don't know when you learn a little Gemara with somebody and you give the person a little bit of a geschmack in learning, that person might be a Rosh Yeshiva someday because of that, and there's countless stories that happened. It doesn't take a lot in life to change the course of somebody else's life, to make a person feel good about themselves, which allows them to spread that happiness to others. And before you know it, we have a yeshiva. Before you know it, we have a chabura. Before you know it, we have a place that we could all feel, this is mine. I'm proud when people ask me where I learned, and I could say Beis Medrash L'Talmud. I'm proud of it. Why am I proud of it? Because it's my family. I went to a yeshiva in Long Beach for high school and 1 year Beis Medrash. And I tell people this, and no one believes me. We were so close in that yeshiva that I think everybody in the yeshiva knew their friend's mother's maiden name. It sounds crazy, right? I knew everything about everyone in yeshiva. Not just the guys in my shir, but beyond. The guys older than me, the guys younger than me. It was a yeshiva. It was a place that we were all able to come together and become one. Because that's what a yeshiva is supposed to be. You know, besides for bringing the taif for simcha, there was another greatness to bring the taif that Miriam did and that the Nashim Tzidkanias did. They showed with bringing the taif that they had emunah in the Rabbeinu Shlalom, that they had emunah that Hashem would redeem us. And when people saw the taif and they would ask, well, what are you bringing it in? Because you'll see there's going to be a great simcha coming up. And people felt good about that. You know, there was once an Atzeres Tefillah. The rain wasn't falling in Eretz Yisrael, and everybody was asked to come to a certain shul and daven like crazy. You know, in Eretz Yisrael, they know really how to pull out all the stops in davening, and they very often are successful in bringing rain. So a father brought his little girl with him to this Atzeres Tefillah. And this girl was, taking it all in. She was a precocious, bright young girl. And at the end of this Atzeres Tefillah, she was walking home with her father, and she looked a little confused. And her father says, "What's wrong? What? Something's on your mind. What's bothering you?" So she says, I don't understand something, Tati. Hundreds of people came to the Atzeres Tefillah. And not one person brought an umbrella. Not one person brought an umbrella. How could that be? How you talking? Do you have bitachin or you don't have bitachin? If you believe in God, you bring an umbrella. If you believe in the geula, you bring a taif. It's not just the simcha that they brought. It's the emunah, it's the bitachon, it's the showing that I believe in the Rabbeinu Shalom. Vayaminu b'Hashem v'Moshe Avdei is beautiful. But show it. When you came here to yeshiva for this man, against all odds, with COVID and everything running rampant, and you said, I'm going to come to yeshiva, I'm going to steiger, this is where I want to be. You didn't just bring your taif. You didn't just bring your own talent to yeshiva. You didn't just bring your simcha and your smile and your dance and your helping of others in any way that you could possibly do that. You brought a chizik to the yeshiva. You're mechazik us. Look at this. The first night of Hazman, in the middle of a COVID pandemic, thousands of people dying, millions of people in hospitals, and you came to yeshiva. You brought your taif. You brought your umbrella. You showed that you believed in the Rabbeinu Shalom and in the Torah and in the concept of a yeshiva. You believed in us. And that gives us tremendous satisfaction. You all started on the right step this month. You proved that you were able to invest in yeshiva by coming, just merely by being here. But don't stop. Keep going le'elo le'elo. Think tonight, before you go to sleep, what can I contribute to yeshiva? Is it tissues? Is it the urn? Is it maybe organizing some sports? Is it organizing a cooking club or a dance club or a music club? Or maybe I could give a chabura. Maybe I want to give a parsha shir. Maybe I want to give a musar thing. What do I have that I could contribute? Well, make it happen, whatever it is. Just bring it to people that... All right, Rabbi Ariel, just bring it to Ariel. We'll make it happen. Whatever you want, we'll do it. But just think of what you could do to make yeshiva great. Because that's what a yeshiva is. At the end of the day, you can have the greatest Rosh Yeshiva, the greatest Rabbeim, but it's the Bachrim that make any yeshiva. We have great Bachrim, that's clear. But now you have to make each other great. You have to cross-pollinate. Make sure that everybody is being uplifted. You have to be the tide that raises all ships, that makes sure that everybody is swimming and everybody is doing their utmost to be matzliach in yeshiva on any front, if it's socially, if it's financially, if it's academically, if it's Torah. Come on Shabbos. Make yeshiva great on Shabbos. This week is an in Shabbos. Make a geshmak. Stay. Where are you running? You have something better to do? If your family absolutely needs you, okay, so go. But otherwise, make this the default place. This should be your home. This should be your home. We're so happy that you all came to yeshiva, that you brought your taif, and now we ask you to play it with the most beautiful music that you